Good morning, Andrea.
Good
Is
morning.
this going to be a scrumptious dessert that we're going to savor, or is it going to be overbaked and we're sending it back to the kitchen?
Turns out, like, my pie crust is going to be overbaked.
I just buy mine, but
I do now.
this is Eric,
This is Andrea.
and it's Hallmark Mysteries and More. This podcast was created by fans for fans and is not affiliated with or sponsored by Hallmark or the Hallmark Channel.
All right. So Hannah Swenson, One Bad Apple. I pulled the description from IMDb because the one on the Hallmark app was just a sentence. So I thought I'd go a little longer than that. So it says Hannah Swenson has been asked to teach a baking class at the college in town, but her equipment is tampered with, causing an explosion that the fire department rules an accident. Soon, a colleague ends up dead, and Hannah begins to put together the puzzle of the mysterious circumstances surrounding the murder. Hannah leans on her friends and family to collect the breadcrumbs of foul play and put them together, and meets a different side of law and order when Lake Eden's prosecuting attorney, Chad Norton, played by Victor Webster, enters her life.
That is a much longer one.
And a much more thorough one. So, I mean, that's basically the movie in a nutshell.
Yes, it was. Perfect.
Well, you know kind of what I thought, because I always like to share mine online. So let me know. How did this land for you?
I gave it, out of our scale of 1 to 5, I gave it a very solid 4. Very
Nice.
solid 4.
And why?
I actually was going to go higher, but then I was like, I can't do that because I've got to really hold that upper echelon for those just truly great, great, great movies. So that's why I put it as a 4 as being just really good, really good. In fact, I'd say this is my favorite Hannah to date. And when I say Hannah, I include all the murder she baked, like the whole series,
Wow.
as one. It was, as we talked about with Allison when they interviewed her, this was her first time writing. And I thought she did such a good job. It may have been, I feel bad for the writers because I don't think previous ones were necessarily written poorly, but I think it may have been the best written one. The dialogue was so effortless. And I don't know if you've ever, like, I've written for fun. And writing dialogue is hard. It's really hard. And I thought she just had like those little interactions, and maybe they were ad lib. I don't know. But it had so much little dialogue in this movie that was just so perfect with, whether it be her and her mom or her and Norman. So I thought it was just really good. And then the chemistry of the characters. Yes, they've been together for, off and on, depending on the mixture for what this is, the 8th one, I think, or is this the 9th?
Yeah, I'm one of
Whatever,
those.
several of them, right? But, and I'll give credit to Allison for the writing of it. The chemistry of just when they were all together or just the groups of them, it just was absolutely fantastic. So that, like I say, it just really to me was the best Hannah today. And Hannah's never been I don't even think it's my top five. In fact, I know it's not my top five. It's one I enjoy, but it's not like, whoa, Mount Rushmore, good for me. And this, if they were all this level, it definitely, I think, could be up there. So, what are your initial just overall thoughts? Because I've got more.
Yeah, I mean, commenting on what you had said about the dialogue, I thought that as well. There was a scene with Barbara Niven and Allison Sweeney that I was like, oh, this is so. I mean, you could see them trying to hold back smiles. I think it was in the bathroom when like she was going, doing her hair, and they both were kind of like cracking up, like actually cracking up. And some of the dialogue I thought felt just like it felt natural, because even as we're having this conversation, like it did feel a little ad-libbed, and as we're having a conversation, sometimes the movies can get really stiff, and you feel like how you react to what I said is not very just like, here is what I think. And like that sort of
Totally.
thing, which can happen in the Hallmark movies. But this one, it didn't feel that way. It felt like sometimes characters, I think they said something at the same time, which is just, it's real life. Like we often say stuff at the same time. I mean, it just, that's how conversation happens. And I actually don't mind that. Obviously, if it happens all the time, it's annoying. But every once in a while, I felt like that felt just like a natural, fresh take on it. So for myself, I agree. I give it a 4. I really found myself enjoying the series again. And so it felt familiar, but it also felt new at the same time. You know, we had that foundation there, but it had just this slight twist to it. And this is what I was kind of thinking about, because I watched it again this morning before we're recording for like, so I've watched it like 2.5 times. And one thing that I noticed kind of this next viewing was, I think they eased us into Victor. They didn't give us a ton of him. They gave us just the right amount, because if you're replacing someone like Mike, who people loved and really enjoyed, especially the Hannah, especially, you know, there's people who really liked Mike Hannah, some liked the Norman Hannah, and transitioning him out, they brought Norman back in and they really centered him and Hannah versus Hannah and Victor, or Chad, I guess. I think that that's a better way that they kind of made that transition. So it wasn't so abrupt. So we didn't feel like, hey, you know, Victor Webster's coming in to replace Cameron Matheson. It's not how it felt to me, at least.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I agree. I thought that, but I think the pacing of this movie in general was very different than a lot of them. I agree. The introduction of Chad, right? Yeah.
Yep.
And I keep wanting to call him Chad, but Chad. And he, as you said, they didn't come in really quick. It wasn't like, which I think a lot of people feared was just going to be, oh, hey, we're going to swap them and no one's going to notice. They did not do that at all. But they also, the murder, and like it played out so long. It was way later than normally when you get the crime. Like it was going and they were developing the story. And we talked about it last week that sometimes when, especially with a new mystery, they've got to do so many things that it just overloads you. And this one just breathed, right? They were doing the story. They were getting everything going. And I want to say it was maybe a full third into the movie where they finally have the crime. So I just thought it was great. And then, as you said, the way that Victor just came in and then he left, I was like expecting him to be in there. And I thought it was fantastic the way that they did it. And they slowly had him in a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. But he was by no means a central character, like you said. It was Norman. Lonnie was in there probably as much as Victor, maybe Victor a little bit more. But I thought it was great. And clearly we're going to be seeing more Victor in the next one, and it will continue that we love. The thing you mentioned it too, the bathroom scene. That was my next note. Dolores, loved her in this. I'm a little bit worried though that they're going to go a little too far and turn her into a character.
I have that in my notes, the exact like, sentence you said.
She's right there on that border where she's fun, she's silly, it's what we love, but it can go a little too much. And I'm hoping that, and that's the thing I've talked about before, there's that fine line, and the characters that I really love are the ones that just get to that line and stay there. And then some of them go over, which was when we go back to Crime Time, I thought that, I think Haley was her name, if I forget, the Linda Greenwood character, the main one there. But like she sometimes would just go over a little too far. And I love the way that she just was there, but I'm nervous. But I had that bathroom scene as well. It totally 100% felt like a mom who's Dolores, who's always about, you know, appearances, all those sort of things. It was so natural. And like I said, I could just see them, and especially after the interview talking to Allison, and when she's talking about her relationship with Barbara, like I could see them like saying, okay, we're going to go in here and this is what we're trying to accomplish, really without a script, because it just was that natural thing. And just the way she's doing it and the hair and the makeup, I was literally just overwhelmed with the cuteness of it. And then the other thing I loved with Dolores was later on when she's going over her list. And she's like, Hannah, I can't take you on as a client because, you know, you're too guilty and I don't want to risk my reputation. I love the fact that she always is dissing. She did that last time in Zest too, where she's just like, oh, Hannah, you know, you may be guilty. So it doesn't matter that it's her daughter. She's still like, I don't trust you as far as I can tell you. So I found that great. The other thing that I thought for this one that I really enjoyed is Hannah's wardrobe has always been, I know you're Minnesota, but she's always been sort of, I'll call it Minnesota casual, right? Just nondescript sweater, jeans, whatever, just whatever.
Taking insult for all
I understand
fellow you. Minnesotans. What?
And Georgia's probably going to hit up our my DM with hate too. I get it, but she's always just been sort of.
Meh. It's very small town Minnesota, like what she's
right?
wearing.
Yeah, right, right.
Very small town. That's what you wear. Get it.
But I thought this time I want to give a shout out, Kelsey Barron, I believe is how you pronounce her name. Maybe Baron. I thought she really elevated Hannah's wardrobe this time. When she went on her date, that dress, she looked super cute. She had a jean sweater with a little, it's not really a peekaboo collar. This is where I really need Sydney, because Sydney would have been like all over.
Also, we need to say congrats to Sydney.
Oh,
she
yes.
had her baby.
I
so
know,
in case Lucia. You don't follow on Instagram or don't have social media, Sydney had her baby. So congrats,
she didn't,
Sydney.
I'm mixed feeling because she did not call it Brooke, no matter how hard I pushed. But Lucette, yes. But she had like the little peekaboo or bait, whatever you call that collar. That was a super cute one. But the shining moment was her chef coat, that blue. I thought she looked fantastic in her class. I loved her outfit for her cooking class. So yeah, you didn't get it.
Okay. That's really funny because I, of all the outfits, was like, ooh, I don't like those. And again, I don't notice this stuff often, but I did notice her jeans. Didn't like that color, the wash of the jeans and the shoes. I was like, oh, that's not.
Oh, like the clog?
Yeah, with the jeans. I just.
I think that clog is like a cooking shoe.
I'm sure it's for comfort because you're standing a lot.
Right.
I do want to mention this scene because I think I would love to hear your thoughts on it too. I loved the Norman and Bradford scene in the bakery.
Yes.
Highlight. That was probably one of my highlights of the movie, is just they're bantering back and forth. And then they showed Allison Sweeney and it looked like an actual reaction. I'm sure they went off script, and her just like smile that you looked like she was trying to hold back laughter, because those two were just hilarious together.
You're ruining my character showcase or character corner there. But yes, 100% agree. That scene cracked me up. Cracked me up.
Well, what about the mystery? Let's dive into our mystery minute. What'd you think?
One last thing I have to say. Yeah. Victor, we do have to mention, just we said how they eased Victor. I mean, Victor was literally as cool as they come. That character, like his character, literally as cool as they come. People were talking about Mike, whatever, but I was like, who's Mike? I don't remember. Because as soon as he came on, and especially when they had the, I'm going to bring him sweets. And he's like, I don't have a sweet tooth. Like I didn't even remember Cameron Matheson was ever in this series. Victor just owned it. I thought he was just so good. And we talked about how he was introduced, but literally when he was on, he just had a complete presence. And I loved also the character, the fact how he's like, I'm the DA, you need to talk to Lonnie. How he did it again and again. Like he wasn't turn into the snooping DA or anything like that. He's like, I'm a DA. He will do the investigation, I will do the prosecution. And I loved how they, did it. And it's Hallmark Universe, and we know that, yes, bakers go out and solve crimes and things like that. But it was also fun to see where they didn't completely throughout all characters just, abandon that. So I just thought Victor, like I said, he cool as they come.
I agree. I didn't really even realize I didn't miss Mike until the end of the movie. And I was like, oh yeah, they completely replaced him. Not replaced even, took him out.
Right.
And I didn't really notice. Like someone had asked me that, what did you think? Did you miss him? And I was like, great question. Clearly not, because I didn't even realize, he was not in the movie, because it just felt so fresh and just everyone was having so much fun. So
he's off in Quantico doing some FBI stuff.
Yeah. And they left it open where, hey, if he wanted to come back there, the door is open. It felt like, so I liked that too, that they didn't like kill him off. They kept the door there in case Cameron decides to come back at all. So I liked it.
Okay. All right, now you're ready to talk about the actual mystery.
Yeah. What do you think?
I liked it. I thought it was a good mystery going all the way up until the actual end, of which I didn't understand what the heck was going on once they got to her dorm room. And by the way, her dorm room was the biggest dorm room ever on the planet.
Very nice. Very
I mean,
nice.
it's like, I don't know, my house may not be that big. But like, I don't know, why do you blow up the classroom that your sister's in to risk, potentially hurting her? Because she seemed to be, as far as the students, the most hurt in the thing. And I know they explained it at the recap. I didn't quite get it. And then it's like, oh, I'm gonna, Willow, I've got you with a gun. Now I'm going to take you out of my huge dorm room and wander through the entire city to some, I don't know where do they end up?
Cemetery. It looks
As
like
a
a
cemetery,
cemetery.
okay, some weird
Poetic.
cemetery, and call my brother to come across town to meet us and take you from a private place into a public place. So I just had some, like, that ending part, I just didn't quite go with it. But I love the fact of the who the victim was. I liked, going all along the whole way. I just thought the ending, just to me, was I just didn't love the ending. And that's actually, ironically, often the case in a lot of the mysteries. It made me think of the first, I think it was the first Curious Cater, as well, where I didn't get to quite the ending kind of thing. But whatever. But I liked the mystery until the very end. What about you?
So I solved it pretty early. Like I just figured it was him. I thought they were boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah,
So
they had a weird brother-sister thing, but
the first time watching it, so I missed them. And then obviously now the third time watching that scene, I was like, oh, they do say brother. I thought they had some chemistry because the way he looked at her and like touched her leg, I just was again probably coloring in my Golden Girls coloring book the first time I watched. So I just assumed
well,
boyfriend,
they
girlfriend.
also, when other people referred to them kind of as
Like
kind
a
of a
couple.
couple-ish, right? Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it was the boyfriend that did it, slash brother. And then I also agreed that dorm room
Hallmark's really
scene.
pushing it. They are
I
getting more
know.
progressive.
Like what? So that
Boyfriend,
dorm
brother.
room's the dorm room, I agree. It was I felt like the same as, the Hannah and the Mike fight that you say I'm anti-feminist because I didn't get it. It was kind of that same moment. I'm like, hold on, did I miss something? Why are we suddenly like, how do they know that she did it or was involved in some way when she talked about and the police knew it was a male DNA and then she looked at Norman and they
Remember,
both were like, we gotta leave? Why did that happen?
because remember when Victor said, oh, the male DNA, that's holdback. So that meant they're not releasing it out to the public.
So how did she know? How did the girl
That's
know?
exactly because she knew her brother was the killer. So she knew they were checking DNA, but she knew that it
Oh,
had to be a male because her brother was, yeah, like the,
that
you
went
had
over
to.
my head
Now that's
completely.
the
And
one part
again,
I.
watched that three times and was like,
Yeah.
I still don't understand. Like, how does she know?
So,
Did
yeah.
somebody tell
So,
her?
right. She shouldn't have known. And then that's when Hannah, now how Norman knew, I didn't, or knew is, hey, time to get out of there. I didn't know, but.
But I did enjoy, actually, I really enjoyed the ending where they did take him to the cemetery. In terms of it felt like there was some stake here because I didn't think I was shocked that Bradford was killed. Didn't think he was going to get killed off. I really enjoyed his character. I was hoping for more of him and, the series. And so I was thinking, oh my gosh, are they going to kill Norman off? They're going to kill Norman in the cemetery because when Hannah got away and that gun was there, I was like, oh my gosh, because I didn't expect Bradford to be killed. So then I'm thinking, wow, are we really going deep with this? We've got another murder on our hands.
And it's
So
Lake Eden,
I,
so it's got the highest
right.
crime rate around.
Besides Cabot Cove. So that like tension was there for me. And I really enjoyed, kind of how that played out. I did think the police, so Chad was a little slow on the, and what did you say? His name was Lonnie. What was his name?
Yeah, Lonnie.
So those two were a little felt like slow on tracking these cupcake, fillers. I'm like, should we be running? Like something, someone's in, like, where's the hustle, boys? Like, let's get her moving here.
Especially
And
because they
then
heard a gunshot too,
right. And they
right?
like took their sweet time getting there. And I'm like, okay.
Stopped at
Not
McDonald's.
right. So I'm like, police work, maybe they need to up the ante after Mike left. Clearly, we need some new training to get things moving a little faster. But that was still entertaining to me. I enjoyed that scene. So kind of transitioning then into that romance roundup.
I
There's
have
lots of different romance.
One
Oh,
last
yeah.
thing I'll say. So Perry, the brother, essentially is a psychopath too, because you said you figured it out. I kind of was thinking it was him. But the fact of he just killed somebody and he just was like oblivious, like do, 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 do. Like clearly the guy's a sociopath because he had no remorse, no guilt, anything about it. He's like, oh, hey, Hannah, my sister's bummed out for some reason. I don't know why. Thanks for bringing some, you know, sweets over for her because I can't figure it out. I just stuck a knife in her like crushes back. But for some reason, she's upset. I don't get it. So, yeah. Perry was a psychopath, and that's all I want to say about that. So, yeah, romance roundup. This is all sorts of stuff we can talk about here, by the way.
Yeah, obviously because Norman had the most time with Hannah, so I never saw them as a vibe together in previous movies. So I always was like, Hannah Mike, for sure. I don't even see the Norman chemistry. This movie, I'm like, okay, now I see what people were talking about, the Norman Hannah angle. And I did really think there was some vibes there. Obviously, with Chad and Hannah, we just didn't have a ton, but I think that Victor gave us enough with his character that it's just like bubbling under the surface. So it wasn't like an overt over the top. It was just kind of a, hey, we're just gonna like, no, I don't like sweets, and just kind of just a playfulness about it. So there's romance that is a brewing there, but it's not kind of overt in your face. We're replacing Mike by any means, by anyone. And so I think that this was done really well as a first movie back, you know, having no Mike, this was the perfect way to play it.
So what I called that, by the way, with Victor, my note says subtle sizzle, because that's
Ooh,
exactly
I love
right.
That.
Right.
I
It's
love
like
it.
it was there, but in no way did they
In
push
your
it
face.
on us. You just felt it. And I think part of it is Victor Webster. Like, we've both talked about it. We like Victor. That guy literally could turn on a house plant, I think. He is just one, like, sexy hot dude, whatever. Like, he just comes in the room. He doesn't have to say anything. He can just sort of look at you with his, you know, trench coat on. And I can see, like, you know, when they're at dinner and they're all looking over at him and going, whoa, like, yeah, that's the character. He just has it. But I have to ask, who's the blonde from the dinner date?
So this is what I was, so they kept mentioning Norman's girlfriend. So then I'm
Diane,
like,
the
is
lawyer.
that Norman's girlfriend that he was meeting? And like,
No.
I don't know. No, you don't think so? That's
No,
who I
because
was
when we
thinking.
met Norman's girlfriend, was it last episode, two episodes ago? She was the one who was the lawyer who is like, she works with Chad, and she's was trying to, I forget what she was saving the building. I think the one
did
where
we
where they
actually
found
meet
the building. Yeah. Several times.
Oh, I don't remember her at all.
So
So
I'm
clearly
guessing
a
she was,
forgettable character for me.
I'm guessing she wasn't in this because of probably availability or budget. Like, they
No
already
screen
had so
time.
many, so
Yeah.
many, yeah, so many characters that they just couldn't fit her. Or they
Yep.
also, like you said, wanted to get a little of that. Are they going to bring back a love triangle? I hope not, to be honest.
No, it's his sister. It's got to be Chad's sister. So there we go. It's another
Well, they both
confusing
looked
brother
really
sister.
okay, because they looked really.
That was the theme of this movie: confusing brother sister dynamics.
They were not an ugly couple, so
Oh.
It could be. It could very well be, but I thought, like I say, that it was just enough. Like, we've said it many, many times. I guess we won't say it anymore. It was a perfect introduction of a new character. Did not try to fool us. Did not just say, oh, swap, you're idiot, you know, viewers, we're going to just fool you. Nope. Perfect introduction. And just, there's electricity there. And once again, I think it's just because Hannah, and we talked about it, Hannah is her character all along, and especially if you go in the books, she's a fickle-y type who has like her emotions and with guys and everything like that. So totally makes sense. Totally makes sense.
What about your character? Who is kind of your
Okay.
highlight character?
It's Bradford. And a lot of it is because of exactly that scene you referenced earlier, beverage. Does it crack me up? Because at first he's like, oh no, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were dating. And then as soon as he said, oh no, we're not, it was like the two, what is it, like two roosters or two peacock, whatever that thing is, the two of them just trying to be like, I am like the testosterone between the two of them just belling out. And he was being, could not be more British as he's trying to be like, I'm Mr. Smooth British, you know, literature professor and everything. So I just found it absolutely brilliant. And to your point, they had to be, I think that's one of the things where they're like, okay, let's go through it. And they did like five different takes where they just ad-lib their different comebacks to each other, because like you said, Hannah, clearly you could see she was doing everything she could not to break, because they were hilarious right in front of her. And then kind of, I guess you felt a little different, but I thought it was the perfect ending. I didn't need any more Bradford, right? We've got Victor in there. You have Norman, who's always going to be like her little, you know, comfort, her, you know, tomato soup and grilled cheese kind of thing. So you don't really need Bradford anymore. So what a great way to finish his character, rather than have him just disappear and not be in the next one. Kill him off. What the hell? So I thought it was great. And then there was another scene in there that just resonated with me, and it's probably like some other people may, they probably didn't. But when there was the explosion and he's like, everybody leave the room, don't panic. It reminded me of, so a little tangent story. Back in 2013, when the Boston Marathon bombing took place, I was actually there. And I was literally 100 yards from when it went off, walking towards it. I had just left the bomb site too, which hadn't gone off yet. And my wife had just finished the Boston Marathon. So I'm started walking and I was going right to that. And all of a sudden it goes off in front of me. I thought the bleachers collapsed because I just heard this big boom. And all of a sudden these people started running at me. And the guy in the front is running with his hands up in the air. Don't panic, don't panic, don't panic. Clearly panicking as he's running at me. And at this point, I didn't think anything of it. So I found it humorous. Now, when I realized obviously bombs were going off and it was this thing, it was not. But the thing always stuck with me of this person screaming, don't panic, in a panic mode. And so when Bradford did that, I just had this like little smile flash, which once again, a horrific incident, but that one little moment does always stand out to me as quite comical. So
How am I supposed to go after that?
I don't know. It's
I mean,
Bradford with
the stories that you come up with, that like, what? Like, did not expect this to be thrown in there. Okay. Wow. Wow.
Bradford with a knife in the back, though. And I'm
Oh,
sorry if
man.
everybody, by the way, it wasn't until after I posted and Andrea yelled at me that I did a spoiler for the
Yeah.
little find
A
the
little
difference,
early with
find the
releasing that
differences
one.
the day after. Or no, I guess it was 2 days after, but
Still a little early for people.
it was the best picture. What could I say? Sorry.
Oh man. Okay.
All
Well,
right.
my character is actually the opposite person in that scene. It was Norman. And I was kind of thinking, because there's so many ones that I could pick, but I honestly, until this movie, Norman was just like a character for me. I didn't really care any way about him either way. I was just kind of indifferent. This one, I was like, oh my gosh, he was brilliant. I think they gave him a meatier role, and I think he really thrived in it. So for me, I'm excited to see more Norman and see what they're going to do with him. I hope they keep him in and keep, I mean, as I'm listening to your interview with Allison and just talking about how do you have a big cast. And so you want Norman, you want to give him roles, but then you also have Andrea and you need to give her dialogue. You have Dolores. And so that's a lot of people to be feeding storylines to on top of Victor, you know, on top of probably Lonnie now, the police chief and all of these people that you're going to need to throw some scenes at. How do you manage it all? And so that's where I feel like, you know, this movie, they did a good job of it. Michelle didn't get a ton. I know she was not a fan favorite, but she has really turned on me. I think they really tapered her down after feedback that that first movie she was in, people did not like her. I didn't like her either. So my guess is Dolores hopefully will, you know, they'll get the feedback and making sure she doesn't go too much out there of a caricature of herself. But that's where I think, you know, they do listen to the fans and they'll see, okay, you know, how do we keep this balanced? We got a lot of Norm in this movie. We probably aren't going to get a ton of them. The next movie would be my guess. We might get more Andrea the next movie if availability is there too for, you know, filming. So I think as long as they do a good job of juggling all that and keeping people's favorites in the movies, I think that's going to be great for everyone. And the series, has a lot of legs to it again, I think.
I'll say also Norman was like kind of the hero at the end.
Oh yeah.
With like
him talking
Norma,
to him.
Norma or Norma, Hannah, you know, you go run away and I'm going to stay here. And it's funny. I never thought about him being shot actually, but you're right. It could very well have. No, I guess they never end on a bad note, but you're right. But it did give there, but Norman's character, I agree with you. He was
Mystery
definitely
101 ended on a bad note, Eric. Just
well,
thought I'd throw that out
okay.
there. It does end on a bad note sometimes, Eric.
But that was not intended. But so, all right. Ready for some trivia?
Yeah, what do you got?
So I'll go back a little bit to the books. Hannah in the books, which I don't think they ever talk about in the movies, but she, the way she knew Bradford was she also was in school with Bradford and he was her professor. And she was literature major. So she in the books often is being very literary. So when she's like, oh, you know, makes the comment about how baking is often an allegory in novels, she really does know what she's talking about because she has a degree in all of that. And I don't think they ever talk about it in the movies, but in the books, it is a very big part of her character. She's always correcting her sisters on grammar and things like that too. The other thing is, did you catch the little Easter egg there when Pam, the one student who does
Pam, yeah. Wow.
Oh yeah, there's even an author who goes ahead and writes mysteries with little recipes in them. Obviously, a very big nod to the Joanna Fluke who writes the Hannah Swenson mysteries. And then
that one took me three times to catch, but I did catch it on the third time.
And then the last one I'll have is Hilary Jardine. I don't know if that's how you pronounce her name, but she was in both Hallmark movies this weekend. She was Stacy, the Bradford's ex-wife. And
yes.
She was also Lizzie in the Blind Date
the Blind
Book
Date
Club,
Book
the
Club.
sister. Yeah.
Yes.
So she was in both of the movies this weekend.
I thought she looked familiar that second night, but yep. Well, my trivia is about Victor Webster. So he actually started his career as a stockbroker and he appeared in Days of Our Lives as well as Charmed. And so I was a big Charmed fan. Then I was like, well, who did he play in Charmed? And he played Coop, the Cupid that ended up marrying Alyssa Milano's character Phoebe at the very end. And then I looked up a picture. If anyone wants to see an old Victor Webster or a young Victor Webster in Charmed, you should just Google, you know, Victor Webster from Charmed. And he is quite hunky. I mean,
I was about to ask
I'm
if
like,
he had that same
wow.
Whatever.
Yeah, he does not. I did not even realize. So again, I watched this recently. So I've watched Charmed since becoming a big Hallmark fan. And I didn't even put it together that that was Victor Webster. I would have never guessed that he was Coop the Cupid. So definitely give that a little Google if you want a good fun little rabbit hole, or even watch the last couple episodes because that's when they get married.
All right.
Well, what about Hallmark and Chill? What do you got for us?
This one, because of that big ensemble cast of sleuthers, reminded me a lot of Agatha Raisin. I don't know if you've ever seen it over on Acorn, but with Agatha, she goes ahead and gets her friends are all, you know, it's not her family, but she's got all her friends who are all involved in her sleuthing. So for me, it had a very big similar feel to the to an Agatha Raisin ensemble sleuthing type. What about you?
Well, you know me. I've turned my Hallmark and Chill to what Murder, She Wrote episode is
exactly.
Like. And I'm continuing that trend. So again, with the apple, not at all this movie, it's not similar, but Mirror, Mirror on the Wall, part 1 and 2, which people, that's like one of their top favorite Murder, She Wrote episodes is Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. It's a rival mystery writer arrives at Jessica's door with not so friendly intentions. That's part one. Part two, so it's a two-part episode. Cabot Cove is abuzz when Eudora McVeigh is determined to fill Jessica's role in solving a local murder. And the apple comes into play because Seth, the doctor, bites this apple that's actually poison and it was meant for Jessica. And then he falls on the floor and then Jessica finds him there. And then they discover, oh, the apple was poisoned. So that is kind of the only thing similar is there is an
it
apple
truly
in
was
both.
One bad apple.
Correct. That it was. There, I was expecting more apple in this. It was more in the baking. Also, one note on the baking. I don't know if I remember. Do you remember this? In the last couple movies, have they been doing that voiceover with her baking?
They definitely did do
They got
it
away from
a
that,
couple.
right? Because they did in the beginning, and then they went away from it. And I love it. So I'm so glad they added it back in to her baking and then just doing a voiceover that really mirrors the movie.
They definitely did it in one of the recent ones, I know, too. I don't remember
I like that.
If it was zest or carrot cake.
Okay. Well, what about Fan Corner? Do you got anything?
I just had a few people who DM'd me saying they liked it, but they did miss Mike. But it doesn't seem like they miss Mike enough that they didn't still like it. And then also had several who were glad to see Norman back. Kind of what we know, the stuff we said.
Well, here are my poll results. So this one was on our page, our Hallmark Movies, Mysteries, and More podcast page. Totally butchered the name of our podcast. Sorry. What did you think of Victor? So that was just kind of my question. 33% loved him. He was a great addition. 20% I missed Mike. 24% loved Victor and Norman and didn't miss Mike. 22% loved him but missed Mike. So in general, not a ton. I mean, it's more towards, hey, we didn't miss Mike that much. And then in terms of like that overall movie, what did people think? 31% loved it, 5 out of 5. 51% it was great, 4 out of 5. 14% middle of the road, 3 out of 5. And then only 3% gave it a 1 or 2 star, so didn't like it at all. So
yeah, I don't know how it was just a good solid one. Even if you're not a huge Hannah Swenson fan, I think it was just a good solid movie.
Yeah, so in general, I think it was well received. And I was curious to see about that Victor poll to see how it turned
Right.
out. And so pleasantly surprised that, you know, everyone really, you know, really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, speaking of good mysteries, we're going to be talking about one, right?
Yeah, so we also polled everyone over on our Instagram page. And we asked, what Haley Dean mystery would you like us to watch? So Haley Dean is going to be doing a marathon this Sunday, April 14th. Pretty much the whole day. So if you haven't watched Haley Dean before, you know, I would give this one a go. And the one that we're going to watch is Haley Dean 2 + 2 = murder. And then the premise, Haley's niece tells her that her music teacher, the main force behind collecting funds for her school repairs, wanted to talk to her as an ex-prosecutor. As she's missing, Haley investigates and finds blood. Police interview all of the teachers. That doesn't sound great, but Haley Dean mysteries are good. So
yeah.
If you're going on just that, know that it's probably going to be better than that description.
I'm excited to watch this because I've seen them and I don't remember this one that we're going to be watching.
I don't either. I don't remember any of them. So that's interesting too. Like I can't recall. Sometimes we can recall like the ones
right.
that we really loved. I don't really recall any Haley Dean off the top of my head, but it's been a few years.
I remember Cindy Busby in the very first one.
Oh,
She's
see.
the main suspect, the daughter who they think
Oh,
is the murderer. So
that's interesting.
And it's great because it's Cindy Busby, but it's not our cute, bubbly Cindy Busby that we see in, you know, the Darcys and stuff like that. She's like a fairly serious character in this one. So at first, when I first saw it, I was like, wait, she looks like Cindy Busby, but she doesn't act like Cindy Busby. And she's Cindy Busby. So I'm excited. I think, like I said, Haley Dean, as we said, good series. Kelly Martin, she's fantastic in the role. So I'm excited to watch. In fact, I'm probably going to watch a couple of them just for fun.
And then a few more notes in case people are like, hey, what time does it air on Sunday? This one that we're going to review airs at 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. So it's an early morning one. So maybe record if you have friendly hit record. And this, it originally aired in 2018. So that's probably why we also don't remember. It's been a few years. And it was movie number 4. So if you're also thinking, hey, do I need to watch the first few? There is a little backstory with her husband that I can't remember if they do a good job of really making sure we understand that as the movies go on. So just a warning, there is a little bit there that you might want to know about. So maybe catch that first movie so you can kind of get the backstory there and why she does what she does.
Right. Yeah, it does touch on it. And then at the very end of the series, it becomes very major, but yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this is fun.
Yes.
If you haven't
seen, way home. So we're out of the pond.
If you haven't seen One Bad Apple yet and you still have access to it, definitely go watch it.
Agreed. All right.
This has been fun, Andrea.
Take care.
Have a good rest of your day. Bye.